Baptist Church, we preach Christ. Amen. We don't have another gospel. We don't have another Jesus. There's only one, and there's only one true gospel. Anybody else that does it, the Bible said, let him be accursed. Paul calls it anathema, which means one devoted to destruction. I'm going to tell you, Brother Ron was talking about that this morning with the false prophets out there. He named a few of them. There's nothing wrong with that. We need to name them. The Bible says when we preach and we teach, the Bible says to reprove. That means to expose. And that means that we expose the false teachers of this world out there. We have a responsibility to do that so that you as God's people are aware of that. Amen. We've had a great service already, hadn't we? Great music as always. We were sitting there and I was thinking about how much I enjoyed the music this morning, and I was reminded of the words of Dr. Allison back during our 50th anniversary revival and all that that we had a few years back. And that Friday night that he came and preached, he said after the service, he said, I believe that was the best song service he had ever been in his life. That's a great compliment, isn't it? Amen. And we enjoy it every service, and we thank the Lord for that. God has blessed us. 1 Peter chapter number 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. I want to thank Emma for the flowers this morning. Beautiful arrangement of flowers. And my understanding that several of the ladies had a wonderful time yesterday. I know Priscilla Kate did, didn't you? Had a good time. So Seth and Emma, they're getting ready. Won't be long. November will be here before you know it. February's almost over with. And we'll be uniting them in the bonds of holy matrimony. God's way. They're not going to just run to the courthouse and sign a piece of paper. They're going to stand before the witnesses and before God, and they're going to declare their commitment to one another. And we thank the Lord for that. That's the way it ought to be. Amen? That's a Christian wedding. That's the way it ought to be. But we're excited for them. I told them last week as they went out, I said, now we're fixing to have to get started. School time. You know, the preacher has to get with them, and they're going to be some education on marriage, okay? It's a good time. So they'll enjoy it, and it'll be a learning experience. But look forward to that. Amen. First Peter, everybody found your place. I don't know that I've ever preached a complete message on this one verse. But I'm going to do it today, and God laid it on my heart. In fact, this was what I had intended to preach last Sunday morning before the Lord changed my mind. But He didn't change my mind this morning, so this is the direction and what I feel like God wants for the hour. I believe it's very needful, simply because of everything that's going on in the world. We know what transpired in several of our missionary families, especially the Micaiah family, and how we're praying for them. But I'm going to tell you, the devil is out there. I'm going to tell you, he knows his days are limited. He knows it. He knows that the Lord's coming back, and God is going to destroy him with the brightness of his coming. He knows what's coming. He knows what's happening. He knows that he's going to, during that millennial reign, that he's going to be bound with a great chain. And he's going to be cast into a bottomless pit for 1,000 years. And then, of course, we know what the Bible said. After that, he's going to be loose for a season. But then, ultimately, he, along with all the demons of hell and every rejecter of Christ Jesus, will be bound hand and foot and will be hurled into the lake of fire, which the Bible refers to as the second death. He'll be there forever. Hallelujah. All of you ought to shout glory to God. That'll be the end of the devil, and that's what we want, is the end of the devil. But right now, he's doing everything that he can to disrupt, and he's doing everything that he can to destroy lives. I just hope today that you are not ensnared, or you're not caught up in that snare of the devil. Amen? And that's why God has placed this upon my heart, to bring this message today. Title of the message is just simply this: sober up or get swallowed up. Sober up or get swallowed up. 1 Peter chapter 5. Let's stand as we honor God's word. One verse. There's no telling how many thousands of times I've quoted this verse over the years. But the Apostle Peter says here, under the divine inspiration of the Holy Spirit, in the writing of God's holy word, he says, be sober, be vigilant. Why? Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. I want you to take the time when you sit down just a moment. If you got your pen, circle, underline, put a little check mark there, a little star by it, but that word devour. That's what the devil wants to do, is devour you. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you and praise you for your goodness, mercy, and grace. Bless the message now as we commit it to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. How many of you this morning ever been to a circus before? Was there anyone there that was called the lion tamer or something like that? And you ever seen those that would, when they're out there fooling with the lions or the tigers, and that actually stick their head up in the mouth of a lion or a tiger? Anybody ever seen that? You know what I say to that? They're stupid. They're stupid. They're idiots to do that. To stick their head in the mouth of a lion. But the Bible says here in this very text that the devil is as a roaring lion, and he walketh about seeking whom he may devour. There's not a one of us here that's in our right mind that would stick our head or any other body part in the mouth of a lion or a tiger. If you're here today and you'd do that, I'd have to say you're crazy. You ain't got good sense. I'm not going to do it. I've got faith, but I'm not going to do it. No more so than I'm going to drink deadly poison, or if I'm going to stand out there and take up serpents, or stand out in the road out there in I-59 at midnight when 18-wheelers are flying through. But yet, we would not put our head or any body part in the mouth of a hungry lion. But yet we will toy and play around with the devil. Now I'm talking about Christian people. There are Christian people today that are toying around and playing with the devil. I'm going to tell you, the Bible said he is as a roaring lion, and he walketh about seeking whom he may devour. As I was meditating on this one particular verse, and as I've quoted it, I've read it thousands of times before, there were three things that God showed me personally in this passage of Scripture. The first thing was a warning to the saints. The warning to the saints. Two words he uses there. He said, first of all, to be what? To be sober. To be sober. That means not affected by alcohol or strong drink. Now, Brother Ron, I appreciate what he said this morning. I agree with him 100%. That our lives as Christians should not be touched by alcohol and strong drink. Now, I realize today that in this millennial age, in this generation X or Z or whatever generation it is, there are many that call themselves Christians that attend church that seem to think that it's okay for a Christian to use alcohol. I'm going to tell you, I've got book after book back there. Brother Ben Sinclair, one of his books, the first book that he wrote, our missionary to Cameroon, first book that he wrote when he got his doctorate degree, was on alcohol. Should Christians drink alcohol? I've got another one by Scott Wendell, the pastor up in Pennsylvania. I've got books by Dr. Clarence Sexton, and I've got all kind of books out there that'll tell you that Christians ought not to drink. But I've got a book better than that. I've got a book written by God that says that a Christian ought not to drink. Who hath woe, who hath sorrow, Solomon said in the book of in the book of Proverbs chapter 23, who hath woe, who hath sorrow, who hath reddening of what of eyes? He that tarrieth long at the bottle, he that seeketh after mixed wine. He said in Proverbs chapter 20 and verse number 1, he says, wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby, the Bible said, is not wise. The Bible said to be sober. That means to not affected by alcohol or strong drink. There's another meaning for that word sober. It means free of intoxication or control of a substance or thing. Now realize today and know that your preacher is 100% against the use of alcoholic beverages for pleasure or any other. Now realize that there is alcohol and medication. The Bible talks about that. That's why the Bible says use a little wine for thy stomach's sake. That's why he says there in the book of Proverbs that wine is used for those that are ready to die. In other words, there are certain medications. It's like a young man used to be in church years ago. I was preaching against nakedness. And there's a lot of that. I won't chase that rabbit this morning. But I was preaching about nakedness. And he asked the question a little bit later. He said, he was asking his parents, he said, well, what do we do when we get in the shower? It's okay when you're in the shower. When you're there where you ought to be. And you in the privacy of your home. But nakedness is a sin when you get out in the public. And you expose yourself to the public. Public nudity is a sin. I'll just tell you that. You ought to agree with me. For a Christian, they ought not to do that. You ought to cover up. Those aprons that Adam and Eve sewed for themselves was not good enough. God made coverings of skin to cover their nakedness. Thank God for that. That's that first sacrificial sacrifice that was made, the shedding of the blood of those animals to cover the sin of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. What a picture of Jesus Christ, amen, who entered in once into the holy place having obtained eternal redemption. Out blood. Amen. Thank the Lord for the blood of Jesus. But there are a lot of things in this world today that will intoxicate and will control individuals. And that's what he's saying, that we are to be sober. The word sober also means serious, sensible, and solemn. Folks, this is a serious matter that we're talking about today. We need to take it seriously. A lot of people do not take the devil seriously. A lot of people do not take their spiritual life and their walk with God seriously. But you need to. I'm not saying that you can't have fun in the Christian life. Hey, I am having a blast. I'm excited. I'm enthusiastic for the Lord. And you ought to be too, because we are living in great times. It may be that the Lord takes us out of here very soon. I'm going to tell you, back when the pandemic hit and everything that has transpired, you know, there were things that even I thought, well, you know, it's going to take a while for this and that to happen. I'm going to tell you, God showed me how quick things can transpire. You realize things that are going on over there in the Ukraine and with Russia and all that, hey, that just falls right into Bible prophecy. Things that are transpiring, all of that's right in there in that same area. All they have to do is just turn the table toward Israel just a little bit. And folks, it's coming. We better get ready. We need to take our spiritual life seriously, sensibly, and solemn. The word sober also means to be in the right frame of mind. In other words, we've got to be focused, to think properly. And this is where he warns the saints by saying, first of all, that we need to be sober, focused, be the right frame of mind, not distracted, not intoxicated by the things of this world. The second word that he uses in that warning for the saints is to be vigilant. The word vigilant is a military term that means to be on your guard or to have you guard up. The Bible tells us in Proverbs chapter 4 and verse number 23, the word keep there means to guard. He says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. In other words, he's talking about guarding our heart. And most of the time when he's referring to the heart, he also refers to the mind, the sense, our thinking. Because that's where it all everything is tied together. As he thinketh in his heart, the Bible said, so is he. We've got to guard our mind. We've got to guard our thoughts. We've got to guard our spiritual life. And that's what he's saying. The word vigilant also means to keep careful watch for possible danger and difficulties. Folks, as a Christian, as a child of God, there are a lot of things that are out there. There are a lot of things in this world that are out there that are just waiting and watching to get you, and Satan is one of those that is out there. And the Bible said he is as a roaring lion. The word vigilant also means watchful, observant, and one that is not distracted. Now realize the devil is the mastermind of distractions out there. The devil knows what he can put in your life, what he can put in my life, what he can put in others' lives out there that is going to bring a distraction to you. Folks, we've got to be focused. We've got to be focused. So we see, first of all, a warning to the saints, and that's to be sober and to be vigilant. The second thing that we see in this passage of Scripture, or this verse of Scripture, is a war with the saved. A war with the saved. The devil, by the way, listen very carefully and closely. If you're lost and undone, the devil's not, he's not worrying about you. Why? Because he's already got you. But I'm going to tell you, he is out there to make war with the people of God and those that are saved. That's why the Bible said, be sober, be vigilant. Why? Because your adversary, the word adversary implies enemy, one that makes war with another. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Of course, we know Satan by numerous names. By Lucifer, Satan, the prince of the powers of darkness, the prince of the powers of the air, the god of this world. He is referred to as the serpent, the son of perdition, the man of sin. When I think about that word serpent, you remember it was the serpent that beguiled Eve in the Garden of Eden. That distracted her, that got her focus off of God and the things of God. It was the devil that did that, serpent. We think about a serpent, we think about a snake. Brother Ron got talking about snakes in Sunday school this morning. By the way, he wasn't talking about handling snakes. He was talking about that you break through the hedge and what's going to happen, that snake's going to bite you. In the book of Ecclesiastes. But he was talking about snakes, and he was talking about pit vipers and all these other things that, you know, good lesson. Good lesson there about snakes. But for me, you preacher, all snakes are poisonous. It don't make no difference what they are. Don't make any difference the shape of their head. Doesn't matter about their heat sensors on their nose. It doesn't matter the color of their eyes or how they can camouflage themselves. Every snake to your preacher is a poisonous snake. I don't like any of them. Don't like any of them. Because they remind me of the devil, every one of them. Even though they may not kill you or they may not harm you, they'll scare you, right? Those snakes will scare you. But do you know, here again, we've got some stupid people out there that want to play around with snakes. Just like those idiots that want to put their head in the mouth of a lion. This preacher right here is not going to put his hands on no snake. I'm going to do my best to stay clear of Satan. He's also known as the thief. John 10:10 says, the thief cometh not but for to do what? To kill, to steal and do what? Destroy. Destroy. We're reminded in the book of Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 26 when the Lord says there, be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. What does he say? Neither give place to who? The devil. Now I've said this many times before that a Christian cannot be possessed of the devil or demons. But they can be oppressed. They can be motivated. They can be used by the devil and his angels. They can. Any of us can if we give place. That means to give access to. If we give access to the devil, that's why the Bible said be sober, be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. So we see, first of all, the warning to saints. Second of all, we see a war with the saved. The third thing is this, a wish for Satan. A wish. This is what the devil wants or what he desires as the enemy of those that are saved. The Bible describes him not he's not a roaring lion, but he's as a roaring lion. And he's walking about seeking whom he may devour. In other words, he will take you as an appetizer. He will take you as the main course. Or he will take you as the dessert. It makes no difference to him. That's what the word devour means. When we think of that word devour, and that's the focus here of his goal, his desire, his want, his wishes, is to devour you. The word devour means to eat hungrily or quickly. Now, any of you ever been in the military, you learn to eat quickly, right? Amen. Better get in, get out, eat. No talking. Quickly. Maybe that's where I got mine from. Donna gets on to me because she says, every time you eat, you look like you're starving to death. Because what am I doing? I'm devouring the food. I like it. I like it. You can tell that the preacher likes to eat. And when I sit down at the table, now realize I know etiquette. I know the right manners. I was taught all of this. But sometimes when that food touches my lip, I'm going to tell you, I go to smacking and I go to spitting. I go, oh, it going in and I'm chewing and I'm having a good time. Donna even says sometimes, because I get to humming sometimes. And if I'm humming while I'm eating, man, I'm really devouring it. But that's what he says right here. That's what the word devour means. It means to eat hungrily or quickly. That means that Satan is out there just waiting to gobble you up. He's just waiting out there to gobble me up. That's what he wants. And this is where I got the theme or the title for the message. It means to swallow up. To swallow up. To gobble up. It means to absorb with one's power and influence. You know, the devil wants to absorb you with his power and with his influence. That's what he did with Eve in the Garden of Eden. He devoured her with his power and his influence. Yea, hath God said. Did God really say that, Eve? It also means to destroy completely and totally. To destroy. That is the ultimate goal, the wishes, the desire of the devil is to gobble you up, to swallow you up, to completely devour you, to completely and totally to destroy your life. The devil is always looking for someone to destroy. Our missionary, my heart goes out to he and his family. But this is what motivated this message right here when I got to thinking the devil's trying to do everything he can to destroy. I'm glad the devil didn't get him. You know what I'm saying? I believe the devil came just as he did in Job's life. And God said, this is what you can have, but you can't have him. That's why our missionary is still with us today, praise God. With God's help, he'll recover and be strong. Continue on in the work of God. But I'm going to tell you, the devil will take whatever he can get. That's why I said, don't be an appetizer for the devil. Don't be the main course or don't be the dessert. It doesn't matter to the devil. He'll take whatever he gets. What does Satan want? How does he destroy you? Let me give you these areas right here, how he'll do it. Number one, he wants to destroy you spiritually. He wants to destroy you spiritually. He wants to prevent you from being saved. Now, those of you, I look across the auditorium today, I believe everyone here, except maybe a child or two, maybe all of our children, have made a profession of faith in Christ Jesus. We're thankful for that. But there may be someone that's listening or someone that's viewing this morning that does not know Christ as their personal Savior. The devil's ultimate goal is to destroy your life spiritually. As I preached years ago, when I had that big bass of Brother Gene's hanging on the wall over there, I said the devil's ultimate goal is to have you hanging, your head hanging on the walls of hell one day and say, look what I have done. That's what he wants. He wants to be able to say that, hey, I've got you. He wants to destroy your life spiritually by, number one, damning your soul to hell. One of the ways that he does this is we look at the parable of the sower in Matthew chapter 13. The Bible said, first of all, that the sower went forth to sow, and he sowed the seed, and some fell by the wayside. What happened? The Bible said the fowl of the air came and devoured the seed. That is a picture of the devil when God sows the seed into the hearts of man. And it falls by the wayside. The devil comes and he snatches away the seed. He takes the seed away. He may do it by casting a shadow of doubt upon God's word, as he did in the life of Eve and others as well. But that's what he does. He comes and he takes the seed out and away from you before it has time to do its work. And that's what he wants to do. He wants to prevent you from being saved. Now let me say, if you're already a Christian, he wants to destroy your spiritual life. He wants to destroy your walk with God. How does he do this? He'll destroy your Christian life and your walk with God. He wants you to doubt God. He wants you to live in fear. He wants you to feel insecure. He wants you to avoid church. He wants you to be led astray. He wants you to fail. He wants to destroy your personal testimony. These are just different ways in which the devil will destroy your spiritual life. Did you get those? He'll destroy your spiritual life by doubt. That's where you don't fully trust God in your daily walk with the Lord. He wants to destroy, and he'll do this by living in fear. The devil wants you to constantly to live in fear. Look at society today. Our society is plummeting downhill at a tremendous rate of speed. I mean, look at it. I'm going to tell you, things are looking bad for this country. Things are looking bad for this world. But you and I as Christians, we don't have to worry about it. God doesn't want us to fear. But the devil wants us to fear. He wants you to feel insecure. That there's no security. Folks, our security is in the Lord. Don't ever trust in the company that you work for. Don't ever trust in the bank that you bank for. I'm not, you know, got to be careful there. You can trust in the man that's there. You can't trust them. I was telling Curtis here the other week, I said, we're living in a world you can't trust anybody except God. Put your trust in God, you can guarantee it. Amen? But the devil wants you to feel insecure. The devil wants you to avoid church. The greatest need in a Christian life, one of the greatest needs, is to be in church. Amen. To be in God's house. The devil wants to lead you astray. He wants you to fail, and he wants to destroy your testimony. He wants to destroy you spiritually. Second way the devil wants to destroy you is mentally. Your mind. Our mind, the way you think. Now, of course, we know that he does it through drugs and alcohol. He does it through discouragement. He does it through bitterness. He does it through depression. A number of things. He going to work on your mind, the devil. He will. I've said many times before that your preacher's greatest, the greatest battle that I fight every day against the devil and against this old flesh is right up here. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this present world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. There's the battleground right here. Why do you think that he challenges us to gird up the loins of our mind to bring every thought into captivity? Because right here, the devil wants to destroy us up here. Where does that come from? Where does discouragement come from? Where does depression come from? These are real enemies in our world today. These are real truths that are attacking our churches and destroying our church people. Our Christian life is right up here through depression and through discouragement. Look at the prophet Elijah. Man, he waged war against the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel and won a great victory. Before the day dawned, Jezebel had him on the run, and he's crying out, God, this is all I can take. This is enough. Just take my life from me. Discouraged. Defeated. Right here. The devil wants to destroy you up here. That's why, I've preached this hundreds if not thousands of times, that the gateway to the mind is through the eyes and through the ears. It's what we listen to. You know what we would do good? And I'm not saying that we need to stick our head in the sand. But it'd be good if you'd turn off some of those news shows that you watch. You know, catch a glimpse of it every so often. Read a little bit every so often. You know, that's something I do every day. I try to read the news. You know, I'll read the internet news and whatever else I can get a hold of. Don't believe all of it, but I try to read it. In fact, I got a good message I'm going to preach here pretty soon on the secret to happiness. This was a secular article. You'd be surprised, you know, at this article that I read on the secret to happiness. I thought, man, that's a message right there. I'm going to preach that. I'm just not going to use their material. But what they said was the truth. But it'd be good if we just quit watching and listening so much. Because it's discouraging. When the news is telling you all the time, saying, man, price of gas is double since this time last year. Groceries are spiraling upwards. Paychecks are spiraling downward. Still, we've got 112,000 a day that's coming down with COVID. It's always bad news, isn't it? Satan wants to destroy you spiritually, mentally, and emotionally. Through the mentality and through our thinking is where he hits our emotions. Emotions. Not saying that we can't and shouldn't be emotional people. We ought to be. But our emotions should not control us. The devil wants your emotions to control you. As Christians, we ought to be controlled by the Holy Spirit of God. This I say then, walk in the Spirit. The Bible said, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. If the devil can't get you spiritually, mentally, and emotionally, you know what he's going to do? He's going to attack you physically. He wants to attack your body. Look at how Satan attacked Job. He couldn't get at Job through his children, through his family, through his possessions. Satan said to God, let me have his body. Let me have his body and he'll curse you, God. God said, okay, you can have his body. And the Bible said that Job was stricken with sore boils from the soles of his feet to the crown of his head. The Bible said in all this, Job sinned not nor charged God foolishly. He never blamed God for it. But what did Satan do? He attacked him physically. You remember the story in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, the story of Paul's thorn in the flesh. You remember what it was referred to or called? It was called the messenger of Satan. And what was it? It was some type of physical or bodily affliction that he dealt with, brought on by the devil. It's hard to believe, it's been 10 years since I had my first heart issue. Prior to that, man, I was on top of the world health-wise. Felt good. Felt as good then when I was 51 years old as I did when I was a teenager. And then bodily afflictions, pain. And it's just been over and over and over again. I can't do what I used to do. You know what? That's discouraging. The devil used that to work on your mind and your emotions. He wants to destroy you physically. He also wants to destroy you socially. Socially. That means he wants to destroy your influence and your testimony with other people. Your influence. One of the things that Lot lost when he went to Sodom was his influence with his family. You want to lose your influence with your family? Just give yourself over to the devil. Stick your head in the mouth of the devil. Stick your head on over there into the mouth of that one that is as a roaring lion that walks about seeking whom he may devour. Go ahead and make stupid and ungodly decisions, and that's exactly what's going to happen. The devil is going to devour you. He's going to swallow you up. That's what happened to Lot. Lot lost his influence. He lost his testimony. He had no testimony with those. That's why the Bible said in the book of Peter that he vexed his righteous soul with the filthy conversation or the lifestyle of the wicked. Look at Samson. Here's another one that lost his influence and his testimony. What did they do with Samson in the end of his life? They made sport of him. Made fun of him. One thing that I've always said, I don't want to do anything that'll ever bring shame or reproach on the name of the Lord. But the devil, hey, that's what the devil's wanting to do. He's wanting to destroy our influence and our testimony. He's wanting to destroy us socially. He wants to destroy you financially. I jotted down this thought. This is not done solely by poverty or the loss of wealth or possessions. The devil wants to destroy you financially. And like I said, it's not solely done by poverty, by losing a job, by losing all your possessions. Sometimes Satan will destroy you financially by prospering you. Sometimes that raise, that coveted raise that you wanted, or those extra hours at work, become a curse rather than a blessing. Think of the people whose lives were destroyed after they won the lottery. Think about that. They want to bring that lottery right here to the state of Alabama. Don't think that the devil ain't behind it. And who's he using? He's using crooked politicians to boost it. But you can read, go online, take the time sometime, go online and read about many of those that won the lottery and how it destroyed their life. I used to work with a man. I won't call his name. He was a good man. But I'm going to tell you, and I don't believe in luck, but I'm going to tell you, this was the luckiest man ever seen in my life. Everything that he touched looked like it turned to gold. He could walk across the parking lot. He was walking across the parking lot one day and looked down, and there was a billfold laying there. A billfold that had no ID in it whatsoever, and it had $210 in it. Now, who do you give the billfold to that, you know, out in the middle of nowhere? And, you know, do you just leave it there for somebody else to pick up and take? Because first one it finds, it's usually going to do that. But that's the way it was. Looked down one day, and there was a quarter laying on the ground. And before he finished picking up change, he picked up about $5 worth of change. But he told me this one time. He said, "I will not buy a lottery ticket." And he said this. He said, "It's not because I think that it's wrong." That's what he said. "Not that I think that it's wrong." He said, "I don't want the..." He said, "Because if I buy a lottery ticket, I'm going to win the lottery." And knowing him, he probably would have. He said, "I don't want the trouble that comes along with it." There have been many lives destroyed, yes, through poverty. But there have been many lives that have been destroyed through prosperity. Look at the rich fool in Luke chapter 12. Tore down his old barns to build new barns just to bestow his goods. "Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Eat, drink, and be merry." And God said, "You're a fool. Tonight shall thy soul be required of thee, and then who shall these things be?" Satan wants to destroy you spiritually, mentally, emotionally, physically, socially, and he wants to destroy you financially. Let me say this morning, we need to sober up or get swallowed up. How does Satan intend on destroying us? 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11 says this, "Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices." What does Satan use to destroy us? Number one, he uses pride. Brother Sean was using these verses here the other night in his sermon. But in our text in 1 Peter chapter 5, we see how Satan uses pride to destroy us. Here the Lord is dealing with this particular subject. And in verses 5 and 6, he says, "Likewise, ye younger," he said, "submit yourselves unto the elder." Do you think that happens today? Our younger generation is a generation that knows it all. How many of you say amen right there? Older folks say amen right there. If you're a younger person, you ought to say amen too, because it's the truth. You just can't tell young people anything today. Some of them you can, but for the most part, you just can't tell young people anything because they don't want it. Why? Because they lift it up in pride. "We know better than that, preacher. We know better than that, mom and dad. We know better than that, teacher. Pride. That's the first thing that Satan will use to destroy you, pride. That's what he used in Eve's life. You know what he told Eve? He said, you're going to be like God. You're going to know good and evil. You know what? Boy, old Eve, I can imagine. Boy, she lifted up. Boy, she said, well, I'm going to be like God. Pride. Lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and what? The pride of life. That's three sources of temptation by the devil himself. Likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with what? Humility. That is just the opposite of pride. Be clothed with humility, for God does what? He resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Verse 6, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Pride. Second thing the devil's going to use to destroy you is problems. Problems. Notice 1 Peter 5:7. He says, casting all of your care upon him, for he careth for you. I'm going to tell you, if we don't turn our problems over to God, you've seen this little prayer before, the little plaque that I've seen it in several homes, I've seen it different places, but God is greater than any problem I have. If you truly believe that, you're going to care. When you have problems, you're going to turn them over to God. That's casting your care upon him. That's like the psalmist said in Psalms 55. He said, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. Problems. Satan will use pride. He'll use problems. He'll use perplexities to destroy you. Perplexities. Perplexities is the inability to deal with or to understand things. What is he doing there? He's messing with your mind. The word perplexities also means not able to understand, uncertainties. He's gonna use things in your life that you don't understand, that you don't see, that are uncertain, that you don't know what the outcome of it's going to be, and he's going to use that to work on your mind and your emotions to destroy you, perplexity. You remember what Paul said in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 4 in about verse 8? He said, we're troubled on every side, yet not what? Perplexed. We got trouble, but we're not uncertain about it. We know God works all things together for the good to them. He'll use persecution. Satan will use persecution to destroy you. He'll use pain to destroy you. Oh, how I've seen many people that suffer from physical ailments and pain that have cursed God, that have gotten angry with God. And when you get angry with God and you curse God because of the pain and the sufferings of life, notice there in 1 Peter 5, verse number 10, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, what does he do? He makes you perfect, established, strengthened, settles you. God has a plan. We've got to see that plan. He'll use perils. Bible talks about perilous times, does it not? We're living in those perilous days. Another thing that Satan will use to destroy his people. You know, one thing that I've had to remind myself over and over and over and over and over again is that I can't keep my eyes on people. I'll tell you right up front. And if it doesn't bother a preacher, I'm gonna tell you there's something wrong with that preacher. But you know what bothers me? What bothers me is empty pews, empty seats. That's what it bothers me. It works on my mind. But do you know what? I can't let that be the focus. Because my focus is this. My focus is I've got a job to do, a calling of God on my life. And it's to preach. if there's one person here or 100 people here. Amen. Or 500 or 1,000. I've got the responsibility and the calling to preach God's Word. Preach the gospel. I can't keep my eyes on people, but Satan will use people to discourage you, to defeat you, and to devour you up. That's why we can't keep our eyes on people in any form or fashion. Satan will use poverty and prosperity. He'll use pleasure. He will use power. He will use the act of popularity. And so many people, I'm not talking here just about the young people. I mean, even grandma and grandpa want to be popular. And the devil knows that. And sometimes we'll bend the rules a little bit, or we'll compromise here or there, all for the sake of popularity, because we want to be liked. But remember, Satan will use popularity to destroy you. He'll use promotion. He'll use the philosophy of man to destroy you. That's why he gave us the warning: be sober, be vigilant. And as I said, don't be the appetizer, the main course, or dessert for the devil. Don't give the devil the upper hand. I remember the words that I read years ago from the great missionary David Livingston. David Livingston said that when the devil comes knocking at his door, he was always reminded to let Jesus answer the door. That's always a good thought, is it not? Here are some quotes that I read and I jotted down about the devil that I thought were very good. And then one quote that came from your preacher, the last one in which I'll read, but it's this. It says, to know your enemy is the first step in defeating him. That's why the Lord wants us to be sober and to be vigilant, to know that we have an adversary out there. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist who? The devil. And he will do what? He'll flee from you. Draw nigh unto God and he'll draw nigh unto you. The Lord Jesus, through the shed blood of Calvary, has given us the victory over the devil. Thank God for that. The Bible says death and hell and sin has no more power over us, has no more dominion over us. To know your enemy is the first step to defeat him. Listen to this quote. Wherever God erects a house of prayer, the devil always builds a chapel nearby. You can mark it down. In other words, we could put it like this. Where there's preaching, and the true preaching, where there's a good church, you can mark it down. There's always going to be a bad one around there too. A compromiser. One trying to draw away disciples after themselves. Next quote. Satan has your address. He has targeted you for destruction. How many of you like those telemarketers? We get so much junk mail at our house. So much junk mail. I'm going to tell you, since Miss Donna's gone, I put all the junk mail in the garage. We got a stack of junk mail since Miss Donna's been gone, about this big. And I put all that in the garage and let her go through it, and she throws away what, you know. But I put it all out there, and then the good stuff I put in the house. But stack that high. We need to start a recycling program at our house. Paper recycling. But we don't like that. I don't like for them knowing my address. Brother Ron's talking about Facebook and all that. We don't like people to know our address, where we live, what we're doing, and all that. Don't want to make it public no more than what we have to. But I'm going to tell you, there's one that has your address, and it's the devil. And he's doing everything that he can to destroy you. The next one is this. He said, the devil is not... Listen to this, the devil is not on a sightseeing tour. He is on an eating trip. He's on an eating trip. He's wanting to devour you. You gonna stick your head in his mouth? You gonna toy around? You gonna play around with him? Just like, can a man take fire into his bosom and not be burned? Or can he walk upon hot coals? This is what Solomon said. Or walk upon hot coals and his feet not be burned? You say, what is that teaching us, preacher? You can't play with sin and get by with it. And you can't play with the devil and not get hurt or destroyed, even though you may be a Christian. This is my quote right here. This is what God laid on my heart. Listen to this. Satan is not omnipresent, but he has plenty of helpers. Don't be a helper of the devil. Satan is not omnipresent. He can't be. The Bible said in the days of Job, he was going to and fro upon the earth, back and forth. He's not omnipresent, but I'm going to tell you, he's got plenty of helpers that are out there. And they know the task that they've got to do to destroy you and to devour you. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your and my adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. I don't want him to have me. I don't want him to have my family. I don't want him to have this church. I don't want him to have your life, your family. We've got to do what we've got. God has given us. Let's be sober. And let's be vigilant. Let's be aware of him. Because God's given us a way to defeat him. And that's through the blood of Jesus. Amen. The blood of Jesus. Blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. Blood of Jesus renders peace. Having made peace through the blood of his cross, thankful for that precious blood. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. When I see the blood, I'll do what? I'll pass over. Thanks be unto God. That means that the old death angel, that means that the devil can't touch us when he sees the blood. Glory to God. Let's stand with heads bowed, eyes closed. Father, we thank you. Thank you for your good word. Thank you for liberty and preaching this morning. Thank you for the message that you've set before us. Lord, help us not only to hear it this morning, but I pray that we would heed, Lord, this warning that you've set before us. Well, we're at war. We're at war with the devil. And he's got a wish and a want, Lest, that is beyond measure. But ultimately, his goal is to destroy in any way that he can. Help us to turn to Jesus for our hope and our help and our strength to overcome the devil. Bless now this invitation. Bless it, Lord, as we commit it to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.